pleasant it is when we live together in unity.
I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and greatness, gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace.
How very good and pleasant it is when we live together in unity.
The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ.
How very good and pleasant it is when we live together in unity.
Finally, all of you, have unity of spirit, sympathy, love for one another, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or abuse for abuse, but on the contrary, repay with a blessing. It is for this that you were called, that you might inherit a blessing.
How very good and pleasant it is when we live together in unity. Our prayer today, that you would make us one, Jesus, as you and the Father in the Spirit are one. That we could be one body in one faith, in one baptism, with one Spirit, with one Lord. And bring you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may...
Come on up. You want to hold that? Got one for you. Briley, I got something for you. Here you go. You take it, Mama. This morning, we're going to talk about changing seasons and an unchanging God. God created every season for a purpose. Just like the different seasons, we have times in our lives, like seasonally, and God says they have a purpose too. There will be times when we will laugh, dance, love someone, be loved, and have peace. But there will also be times when we'll be confused, we'll cry, we'll mourn, we'll grieve, we'll even give up or try to fix something that's broken. And we have to deal with war in some way or the other, with a family member, or seeing it on the news. What season are we in right now? Are you in a fun season? You're happy? Your family's great? You and your friends are silly together? You're doing good in school? You got to have maybe your favorite cereal for breakfast this morning. Or maybe you're in a sad season right now. Maybe someone you love has died recently. Maybe you're trying hard in school and your grades just aren't getting any better. Sometimes your parents are fighting a lot and you worry about that. Or some of your friends are not really acting like friends right now. But I do want you to know today that seasons, even the ones in our life, will change. Bad times and good times will come and go. You will change, your friends and family members will change. The school or church we go to may even change. And your hair might even change. Look at mine. It used to be dark brown when I was your age. But do you know what? Our God never changes. If you have a relationship with Him, He will never leave you. He will always be there to help you through. God says that He has made everything beautiful in its time. That means He can take even the worst seasons of our life and turn them into something more beautiful than we could ever imagine. Our God is incredible. Changing seasons and an unchanging God. What are our four seasons? Winter, spring, summer, fall. Do you have your little pumpkin I gave you? What do you usually see painted on your pumpkin? Is it usually a face? like this? Do you usually see this on your pumpkin? What did Grandma Linda put on her pumpkins? A cross, yes. And I did a cross because God is the maker of all seasons. Will you say an echo prayer with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the seasons in our lives. And we know you are there with us through the good times and the bad times. Your strength will hold us up. Amen.
The scripture reading today is from the book of Acts, chapter 4, verses 29 through 37. And now, Lord, look at their threats, and grant to your servants to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. When they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and spoke the word of God with boldness. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. There was a Levite, a native of Cyprus, Joseph, to whom the apostles gave the name Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He sold a field that belonged to him, then brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet.
This is the word of God for we the people of God, let us say.
Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? God, I pray the prayer that Jesus prayed for us in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, that you would make us, that you would make your disciples in Jesus' name, that you would make us one. As the Father and the Son are one in the Holy Spirit, God, make us one today and speak your message of unity in the Holy Spirit to us through your word so that we can have hope and joy and peace in your Holy Spirit in the one name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So, I had a wonderful time worshiping with you last week. And I was so excited to share about the signs and wonders that God brought forth through the name of Jesus Christ for the early church in Acts 4. And we had a great time last week as we drew near to God. And we looked at that prayer that they pray, that prayer of desperation. Utter dependence on God, where they prayed, and now, Lord, look at their threats. And now, Lord, look at their threats. After this week, I kind of glossed over that last week, but I feel that in my bones this week. And now, Lord, look at their threats and grant to your servants to speak your word with all boldness. While you, God, stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. I've been praying that all week this week. Each day. Just crying out for God to look at their threats, God. And give us courage, God, to speak your word with all boldness. While you stretch out your hand to heal. Because there's so much hurt around us, God. And I'm just crying out to God this week on my knees for him to perform these signs and wonders through the name of his son, Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen? Amen. And I love that in verse 31, that not after they'd prayed, but when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together, not just the people, but the place, it was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, all of them. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. So God answered their prayers immediately. Through the process of them even praying, God answered their prayers. Because they faithfully prayed. They faithfully asked God to give them the Holy Spirit, to give them that boldness, to share his word, to share their testimony, to share Jesus with the lost around them. And as Jesus had taught them, he said to ask God and you shall receive, to seek and you shall find, and to knock and the door shall be opened. Well, they're pounding on that door of heaven, aren't they? And I hope this week that you found yourself in your prayer closet and you were pounding on heaven's door, asking God to do something. Where are you, God, when things like this happen? Give us boldness, God. Give us courage to walk in your truth and in your way and in the name of your Son, Jesus. While you, God, stretch out your hand to heal, you're the one that has to do the heavy lifting, God. You're the one that can heal this trauma. You're the one that can bring us together and help us to heal as a nation. You know, there's that prayer from 2 Chronicles that if my people turn from their wicked ways and seek my face and pray to me, I will hear their prayers, turn my face toward them, and heal their land. We need that, don't we? But we have to let God hear our prayers. We have to ask faithfully. But those apostles, they also faithfully expected God to respond because they expected God to stretch out his hand to heal. And God was faithful to respond to them in their trust and to respond by performing those signs and wonders in the name of Jesus, as we heard last week and we heard again today in that scripture, that there's power in the name of Jesus. Amen. I didn't watch much news this week because I was just too grieved by it, but I heard that there was a man who was a survivor of the Las Vegas shooting, and he was self-described as agnostic before the shooting, but after the shooting, realizing that he was spared, that there's some sort of divine purpose for his life, some mystery that he's supposed to live for, he became a believer in God and now is seeking after God. And I hope someone gets to share Jesus Christ with that man so that he can put all the pieces together and he can be embraced with the love of the Father through the Son Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit and through his holy people, the church. Amen? Amen. So God faithfully responded to their prayers immediately, gave them exactly what they were praying for because the place was shaken. They were gathered together in their desperation. Their desperation brought them together to make them one body. And when that place was shaken, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness, just like they had asked. But here's the verse I wanted to focus on, because this is the first sign and wonder that God does. The sign and wonder that God does first for them is unity in the Holy Spirit. He makes them one in the Holy Spirit. It says, verse 32, now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. And no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. They were of one heart and one soul. Of one heart and one soul. Do you believe that's what we need today? Here and now, in our church, in our community, in your families, in our nation, in our world, that we need the unity of the Holy Spirit. We need the holy conscience of God living in us through his Son Jesus, the Spirit, alive in us, to show us right from wrong, to help us take every day, step by step, moment by moment, because as a human race right now, we are messing things up left and right, aren't we? We are just utterly lost without the guidance of God. And yet, as I see these tragedies that are happening in our world, I see that even in the darkest hour, you see people who instinctively do what's right, where people were shielding themselves over the people around them to protect them from the gunfire. And I'm sorry that this is graphic today, but it's been very graphic this week, hasn't it? But even in those moments of great tragedy or these natural disasters, you see people banding together. Like with the Hurricane Harvey and the flooding, and the people had that human chain, and they were all linked together, people of different walks and races and different backgrounds, and they were all chained together to rescue people who were drowning, weren't they? See, even in these disasters, even in these dark times that we see or experiencing, and they might get darker, God still brings about great good through his people. Amen? That because Jesus died for us on that cross and he was resurrected, that fight is not over, is it? But he's won the war for us. He's given us hope. He has given us the way out from sin and temptation. And he's broken down that dividing wall of hostility that had divided us for so long. He's tore that wall down for us. Through that great sign and wonder of unity in the Holy Spirit that he gave us. And I think back to when I was in seminary, and Julie and I were living in a house off campus in Wilmore, Kentucky. And the house next door to us, we had all kinds of neighbors. We had neighbors that were in a satanic metal band. We had neighbors that were kind of in and out. We had neighbors who were from the continent of Africa, from Nigeria, and from Kenya, who lived next door. And one year, I had a neighbor who became a good friend of mine from Nigeria. We worked together. We worked in dining services and catering and did dishes and waited on tables together. And my brother, Emmanuel, in Christ, he knocked on my door one day. And he looked at me with horror and grief. His home church in the state of Kaduna in Nigeria had been bombed by the Boko Haram. And he was there in the States. And his wife and his children and his extended family were all back in Kaduna. And he looked at me with just utter trauma and horror. And I didn't know what to say. But we embraced. And I didn't know that much about Nigerian culture at that time. But that Holy Spirit made us one. We were brothers in that moment. Because his family was all the way back traumatized in Africa. He had no one. And we hugged for I don't know how long. And we prayed and we wept together. And we prayed for justice. Just like so many people are praying for justice this week. Justice for people who've been victimized or oppressed. To catch the people who are on the loose who are causing these crimes around the world. And we prayed for justice together. We prayed on the steps of the library later that day for justice. And then we got word the next week. And this was so rare because this doesn't usually happen. They caught the people who bombed the church. Not the suicide bombers, but the people who orchestrated it from the Boko Haram. They actually caught them the next week on a Wednesday. And I don't know any other time where they've done that in that area. And we praised God together in the unity of the Holy Spirit. My friends at seminary who were from different countries and different continents, we didn't have anything in common except Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And I had some of the best friendships I've ever had in such a short time with those people because our common ground was the Holy Spirit. We didn't squabble about preferences or favorites or popularity things or pop culture or politics. We just shared Jesus together. And I got to experience holy friendship, unity in the Holy Spirit with my brother Emmanuel and many others. So my life has been changed by that experience of unity in the Holy Spirit. And I pray that for us. And Jesus prayed for us as the church. In fact, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, do you know what he was praying for? In the Gospel of John, when he's sweating drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane, this is what he's praying for. He's praying for us, his disciples. He says, Father, the hour has come. He says, glorify your Son so the Son may glorify you, since you've given him authority over all people to give eternal life to all whom you've given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. And we know now the work that he finished for us when he was on that cross and he said, it is finished. Amen? Amen. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence. That is through his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. Jesus said, I've made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you've given me is from you, for the words that you gave to me, I've given to them. And they have received them and know in truth that I came from you and that they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf, on our behalf. I'm not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine is yours, Father, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. And this is what he prays for us. He says, Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me. So protect them in the name of Jesus, so that they may be one as we are one. So that they may be one as we are one. For while I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost except the one destined to be lost. And he's talking about Judas there. So that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now, Father, I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. And that joy he's talking about is the joy in the Holy Spirit that he experiences of the Father's love for him. That joyful intimacy and holy love. He says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. And he's praying that for us right now from heaven, from the Father's throne. He says, I'm not asking you to take my people today out of the world, but I ask you to protect them today from the evil one. And don't we need his protection? Amen? They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Father, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And as you've sent me into the world, so I've sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself so that they also may be sanctified in truth. And here's where he digs in and where he must be sweating those drops of blood all the more. He says, I ask not only on behalf of these, but I ask on behalf of those who will believe in me. That is for the lost who are going to be found through their word. That is through their testimony, that they may all be one. Jesus is praying for unity as his drops of sweat are drops of blood on that ground. Agonizing, travailing prayer that they may all be one as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them. And he's talking about the Holy Spirit. So that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me. That the world may know that you have sent me and you have loved them. So this unity is so the world may know that God sent Jesus so that we could be loved by God, and so that the world could know that God loves them in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. He goes on to say, Father, I desire that those also whom you've given me may be with me where I am to see my glory. And you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you. And these know that you have sent me. I made your name, there it is, his name, your name known to them. And I will make it known so that the love with which you've loved me may be in them, and I in them. Jesus' prayer of all prayers that he prayed for his disciples was for unity. And God was faithful to answer his son's prayer at the right time when they needed God the most. God provided his presence for them, amen, through the Holy Spirit to bring those disciples unity so that they were all one in the Spirit and they were willing to share everything they had and belong together and believe together so that they took care of one another and that the world saw their witness, that in their love for each other and through the power of Jesus' name, as God healed people, as they prayed for the sick, and they cast out demons, and they came together from all different languages and nations, coming together through the Holy Spirit. Thousands and thousands of people wanted to know God and wanted to know Jesus that they were talking about. And they were willing to stop whatever they were doing to ask them, what must we do? And he says, repent and believe in the gospel. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, each of one of you, and receive the Holy Spirit so that they could have that unity as well. It was their unified witness that impacted their world. So when Christ transforms our lives, he can cause our community to thrive together in the love and joy of God and Jesus Christ, amen? But most importantly, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that we could be one in this church, that we could be one in our neighborhoods, that we could be one in our workplaces, that we could be one in this community. And while the world seems to be so divided, we can come together in one relationship at a time and celebrate the unity in the Holy Spirit, amen? Now, does that appeal to you today after all of that bad news we heard this week and saw this week? That Jesus prayed for us, not for himself, but for us to be one in him through his Spirit as he and the Father are one. And not only for his disciples, but for our world to come together and be one in the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God. Amen. I pray for you this week that you may experience the unity of the Holy Spirit in the bond of peace. And just as Paul reminded the disciples in Rome, he said, now the God of peace will shortly crush Satan under your feet. So receive this benediction. May the God of hope, the God of hope, the God of hope, and we all need hope, don't we? May the God of hope fill all of you with all joy and peace as you trust in him in Jesus Christ so that you may overflow with hope by the power in the unity of the Holy Spirit. Amen.